Thank you, Rick. Rick and I sing alike. We both sing out of our mouth. His just sounds a lot better than mine, okay? That's all there is to it. This morning we were going to talk about the vine and the branches. My experience with vineyards, when we had the privilege to move down to Chesterfield, South Carolina, when I went to Florence, I passed a vineyard. Of course, I had to go down the road, you know, and cross crossroads, and then the vineyard was out there, and then they had a building where they processed it and things. And I used to just be amazed, and it wasn't the only vineyard in that area, but there were quite a few. I just got amazed at how well they kept it and everything. You know, always seeing machinery out there working and people out there working and things and stuff. Like I say, they did take it and process it in a plant there and made it into a wine cooler. I haven't drank a wine cooler, so I don't know what one tastes like or anything, but I know they did. And I said, well, what's the difference in wine cooler? And I said, well, it's the amount of alcohol in it. And they said they control the alcohol by the filters that they use. So, you know, learned a lot about that thing. Well, this is modern day. Jesus' day is a little bit different in it. He says, I'm the true vine. And my Father, he does the garden work. You know, when you think about Isaiah has a great picture of vineyard work and about a vineyard in chapter 5, 1 through 6, when he says, I'll sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one has a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it off of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it, cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judea, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I've done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I'll tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I'll take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I'll break down its wall, and it'll be trampled. I'll make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. Not a very good picture, is it, that Isaiah plants this vineyard? You know, Israel was often thought of as the nation, and it was the vine. And it had a symbol of being a vine. Even, you know, in front of the Holy Holies, they had a vine and it had grapes on it. And if you were rich enough, you could take your gold and have it melted down and make a grape and put up there. So I guess everybody walked by and say, well, that's the grape so-and-so put up. I don't know, you know, type of thing, what people would do. But they had this great symbol about being the vine and being able to produce and give the fruit. But as Isaiah tells us, and not only Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, and the Psalms, they all talk about Israel being the vine. But they just didn't do their job, did they? Unfortunately, God asked them, you know, to be and share the good news, and they really didn't do it. They wouldn't follow after him. They repented time and time again. He gave them grace. He gave them mercy. He gave them love. He gave them all. They just didn't do it. So Jesus is saying, I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine. No other. And being a true vine, I also have a gardener, and that's my Father. Now, like I say, all the things that were done, you know, in Isaiah's picture. They planted a vineyard, you know, and fixed it up, fixed the ground. They sometimes would plant a hedge around it. Sometimes they even a wall, depending on, I guess, your economics. But sometimes they just plant a hedge around it. And you remember in Songs of Solomon, he says, "Beware of the little foxes, for they tear down your vineyard," you know. What happened was the hedges had come up, and the little foxes had come along, and they'd creep in between, you know. Big foxes couldn't make it, but the little foxes could snuggle in between there, and then they got inside the vineyard. Well, they couldn't reach the grapes, so what'd they do? They basically tore everything down, made a mess of everything, run the whole place because they were too small. I guess we say, yeah, watch out for the little foxes that get in our lives too. But he says, you know, I'm the vine. I'm the one that carries that nutrition. I'm the one that gives to you all that you need. And my Father is the gardener. He's the one that cares. He's the one that does the stuff. In Israel, they liked the vine so much that they'd plant it around their doorpost, you know. I guess so. In the morning, you just step out and get your grape and say, boy, that tastes good. I thank you, Lord, and go on. That'd be a good thing to do. Wouldn't it be a nice way to do? That's sort of like I had a great uncle live down in Florida, and we were forced during Easter vacation to go down and see them, and he happened to have an orange tree in his yard, and so we had to get fresh oranges each day, you know. Sometimes I've been down there, and somebody invited us to a tangerine. And I'm going to pick tangerines off. Folks, there is a whole lot of difference in having it right off the tree than eating it 2 or 3 days later. There is nothing to compare. I even went to a place where they made orange juice. I think North Carolina has per capita the highest drinkers of orange juice in the nation. So they would make orange juice, concentrate it, shipping in a tanker up in North Carolina, reprocess it, make it into orange juice, sell it, you know. It's a fantastic thing. Like I say, Israel had vines all over the place for decoration, roundabout, to make a living, and everything. But they had it as a symbol, and it really didn't go to their heart. And Jesus says, you know, I'm the true vine. I need it to go to your heart. I need that you really be. And he says, okay. They have branches and two kinds of branches, I guess you would say we have. Non-fruit bearing. Says the Father just cuts those off. Piles them up. There's no good for anything. Twice a year, you were supposed to bring an offering to the temple of wood so they could use it in burning sacrifices. But you know what was a no-no? Yeah, you're right. Bringing these branches from the vines, they are no good for burning them. So they're soft wood. Of course, my wife reminded me you can make a wreath out of them. I guess that's a good thing that you can do with them. But other than that, don't try to heat you home with them. Don't try to use them for cooking anything with. They're just not useful branches, even if they're cut off. And he says the other type it has is a fruit bearing. One that bears is pruned so it can bear more fruit. You know, I've always been amazed at people sometimes that don't want to cut anything because they're afraid they'll hurt it and things, you know. I'd like to have more blooms on something. One of them I think of, I know in Bluefield, a guy has a azalea, and the thing must be as tall as his house, you know, big as his house and stuff. And when it blooms, it looks pretty pitiful because the blooms are so far apart, you know. You can say, well, wow, I can see green. I guess he's having a green tree. I don't know what the thing about. But for years, he just let it go and stuff and things. I guess he doesn't know that, hey, if you want more, trim it. Prune it up. And he says, my Father does this. My Father takes care of this kind of thing. He prunes them so they might bring more fruit and more fruit. And those that don't bear fruit, he just cuts off, gets rid of them. That's a task you got to do every year. In fact, taking care of a vineyard is sort of hard work, as somebody said, if you want to do it right. You might have to stake it up, fix it up, things. We got a vine behind our house, but I haven't taken care of it, so it doesn't look too good. It'd have to have a lot of work done to it. But I have a neighbor that used to take pretty good care of theirs. I see them out certain times of year and pruning that thing away, you know. Wouldn't be anything but just a big old knot of a vine there. And then all of a sudden the spring would come and out come the branches. They'd take a look at the branches and see if they were going to put out anything. If they didn't, they cut those off. Same type of thing, it says, the Father does. Taking the root, making those difference. And those that bear fruit and those that don't bear fruit. What else kind of branch are we? Are we fruit bearing? Are we not fruit bearing? Yeah, the fruit Jesus talked about. One thing, follow my commands. My command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Here again is that agape love. You remember, agape love is love that's given for the betterment of the individual with nothing expected in return. You know, some people give you a gift and then they, if you wouldn't give them something back, they'd be insulted, wouldn't they? You know? Or you feel like, well, because they sent me a gift, you know, then I have to send them something. So like, I think sometimes thank you cards. Do you see do you send a thank you card for a thank you card so somebody can send you a thank you for your thank you back? You know, it can go on and on forever, can't it? But agape love is that it just sort of gives out and says, here it is. I want this for the best of you. And I don't care whether I acknowledge it or not. You know, many times the Lord talks in the Word about, you know, sometimes if you're just doing it for somebody's glory or just to be noticed of individuals, he says, well, you got your reward. That's it. Nothing else coming. You know, you got it. Somebody made recognition of you, you know. They gave you a little plaque and put your name on it and a star on it and things like that and handed it up to you. Yeah, if that's all you're doing it for, then you got it. Of course, there's lots of people that do things for just the love of caring things because they have the compassion and passion for something. So he says, you know, hey, my command is this. Love each other as I've loved you. You say, well, I can't compare to God's love. Well, yes, we can too. He's given us that capacity. You know, some things that we just get and things that God is and we receive. Like God is a creator, but he gives us the ability to create also. Sometimes it's a mess you create, but hey, sometimes you do. Man has created some fantastic things. You think about some of the things people have invented. I know I worked on computers for a while, and I thought, you know, boy, these things are sort of complicated, and now they're sort of a logical type of thing, and if you sort of understand them, then you do all right. But I remember even David Mace's book and stuff, and in his preface, he says, this is what I've learned thus far. People called him an expert, but he said, nah, this is just what I've learned thus far. It hadn't ended. I tell you what, and I must confess, I tell you about God's love, but it's just what I've learned thus far. I've learned how he worked with me, and I see how he works with others. But that's just what I've learned thus far. He's not through with that. I don't have any earthly that he would be through with it at all. I think he's just sort of keeping on going and keeping on going. And sometimes, you know, as Blackaby said, you know, find out where God's at work and join him. Hey, get in there with him. You don't have to invent it. God's at work in the world. He's out doing things. He's out sharing with people. He's out convicting people. He's out dealing with people in their lives. He's helping them in their troubles. He's helping them in their struggles. He's helping them in answers. He's helping them in so many ways. And you can just join in with that. Whether somebody you walk up to and they're crying or something, and don't have to say anything. Just be there. They want to talk to you, they'll talk to you. If they don't want to talk to you, that's all right. Just give them a bump fist and whatever, go on. People are struggling. If you see somebody's life's a little bit different than what you normally experience and stuff, say, hey, are you doing okay? Anything I can do to help you? Any concern I can have for you? No. What can you do? I've told about a young lady walked up to me and said, Mr. Lyle, I want you to pray for me. I said, okay. Now, what am I praying for? Let's get this down. I don't mind just praying for you as a person, but is there something specifically you have in mind? And she did. And she told me. And we prayed about it. That's what he says, love it. And then he says, greater love has no one than this. Today, lay down one's life for one's friends. So like people tell me, and I've never been in the Army, but to say in the Army, you sort of sign a piece of paper that says, you know, I'm willing to give my life for you. I'm willing to give my life for you. No greater love does somebody have than that. To be able to say, I'm willing to lay down my life for you. We have that in first responders, police officers, you know, all kinds of individuals in our country that basically on a daily basis face those kinds of things. You just don't know. Think about just stopping a car and walking up to it, not knowing anything about it other than it's blue or pink or yellow or whatever, and it has a license plate on it. What kind of drivers are? You don't know. You have no earthly idea. You get a ring over next door and there's a fire. What kind of fire? You don't know. You just go. I grew up in Norton. Over across the hill from us, they unloaded some fertilizer, which they used as dynamite, with dynamite. Oklahoma City bombing did that. And they'd unloaded this, and apparently somebody was welding and caught the fertilizer on fire. So the town, since they couldn't go through the mountain, or the hill, basically, as we called it. They had to go all the way around. And when they got up to the place, the fire chief looked at the flames and he said, no, stop. Everybody stop. Turn around. Get out of here. He had seen on a film that this kind of flame was produced stuff that was going to blow up. And surely enough, they got away in time, and the place went off. It broke a car window 30 miles away. My mother and dad ran a newsstand, so I happened to be there, and the back door opened and shut, and the front door opened and shut by itself. Glass was broken many different places just from the shock waves. But you know, the power there that was there. Sometimes you'd say, oh yeah, this guy was smart. He paid attention in a training film and it saved a bunch of lives that particular day. Or those firemen would have been right there when that whole carload of fertilizer went off. Jesus said, you're my friends if you do what I command. Loving somebody. Let's remember that our responsibility is bearing a witness. You know, some people can come to me and say, well, I told somebody about the Lord and they haven't accepted. Well, hey, that's not your responsibility. Is the Spirit working with that person? You don't know. But it is your responsibility to bear it, to share with people what God's doing for you, how He's blessed you. I don't know exactly who does it but or teaches it, but some people will tell you, have a blessed day. I took off my garbage the other day, and the lady said, have a blessed day. And I said, well, I thought that's the way you're supposed to have it. She said, I sure hope that's the way you have it. And hope the way I have it too. Just having a blessed day. But some young people tell me, you know, have a blessed day. That's sort of a nice way to be able to say, I'll see you later, or I want you to have the blessings of God. With Abraham came the power to bless, and so we can bless people. I don't mean bless them out, you know. I'm talking about actually wanting good things to happen to them. Actually saying, you know, hey, I want life to be meaningful and real and full for you. Agape love. That's what He says we must do. Keep His commands. His command, love each other as I've loved you. A strong thing for us to do. The vine, the branches? Yeah. Israel had that idea of being the vine, but they didn't follow after God's commands. They, guests, dropped the ball. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. May we pray together. Lord, we want to thank You for Your love. And thank You for what You do in us. Help us to be branches that bear fruit. And help us to teach others how to bear fruit. So Your kingdom can come as we've prayed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.